I'm Kay Thompson, and welcome to Kay Thompson Live, and welcome to Hello, everyone. Hello, I'm Kay Thompson, and welcome to Kay Thompson Live. I'm the host, and my co-host is my partner and my son.
How you doing?
Eric Payne.
Hey,
you're not my partner.
How's everybody going? Your partner on the radio show?
Yeah, my partner on the radio show, I meant.
Co-hosting for today's episode of Kay Thompson Live Show.
And
good to be back. I was away for a while.
Yeah.
Went to a special event.
Mm-hmm.
Participated in the Congressional Black Caucus Institute political boot camp and education week. It was a
really
week
good,
long event where we learned the ins and outs of politics, and the political boot training program is actually an 8-day intensive program.
Eric, hold on that a little bit, you know, because I want to tell people why I stumbled on this, you know. Here, I'm on the air, and I immediately forgot my glasses fell off, and so I had to pick them up in order to see what I was doing. But anyway, tell us about this, you know, congressional boot camp that you went to.
Yeah, as I was saying, it's kind of an 8-day intensive leadership program that was designed by the Congressional Black Caucus Institute.
Mm-hmm.
Their purpose of doing that was to generate a pool of minority professionals that are going to be well-qualified with regard to public and private sector policy issues and the conduct of political campaigns. And this is something that we participated in, as I said, for about 8 days, just outside of Washington, D.C., and we learned from a really fantastic group of individuals who taught us everything from the tactics, you know, from a textbook standpoint. We were instructed on things like campaign ethics, research and polling, the legislative process, getting out the vote, e-campaigning, e-fundraising, issue advocacy. And so these are all things that their goal is to train individuals in leadership and to take political action and civic participation, and wants to train people to also run for office one day.
Wow.
and also the art of running successful campaigns so we can move policy and affect policy and issues in the country that, you know, pertain to African Americans and other minorities.
Well, how were the people that who came, how did they happen to get involved? Did they sign up? Were they in politics prior to taking the course or what?
Yeah, it's something that people could sign up. Most of you could sign up and go, or a lot of people were nominated by representatives, members of the Congressional Black Caucus. They might have people in their community that they're familiar with, that they think are leaders, have leadership potential, and they nominate them for this boot camp to get these skills, these additional skills.
It sounds like we're developing an army of voters and people who are politically aware so that, you know, our information can be heard. Excuse me, our lives, you know, can be active in our communities regarding politics.
Right, right. It's certainly something to a path forward that we can strike out chart out some sort of strategy in terms of becoming politically active and gaining political power and success and victories. You know, as we try to fight and keep things like our voting rights alive for us and things like that. It's ironic. Being around down there was when the president spoke about his feelings about the Trayvon Martin case.
Yes.
So it was just an ironic time that we were down there.
And that's the one thing that I wanted to talk about, too. But I thought, first of all, I'd like to say thanks to Gina Payne Scott. She was filling in for us, and she was calling in from Bermuda, and she did quite a good job, and we thank her for that. And, of course, she's going to be back for more. And I understand, too, that another thing, the reason why we were out before was the fact that I was down at the Newark Black Film Festival, where I presented my interview with Gus Henningberg, my partner, who passed, as many people know, and with an extensive biographical video that we presented for him. So, and the Newark Black Film Festival is, what, over 39 years old, so, and it was really very, very effective.
And he was actually the founder.
Yes,
or,
yeah.
The creator, one of
when
the
he started
the
it,
Black
you know,
Film.
It sort of kicked off in the rest of the country, and that's how the Black Film Festival started. And, you know, I was telling you about the film that I saw, The Evolution of Harry Belafonte, which I recommend highly to everyone. See that film. And then also I was talking about this video that I will think of in a minute. I have it about, oh, God, I forget the name of it, But I will mention that later on in the show. But when you were talking about, before you get into more of the boot camp, which was absolutely fascinating to hear you talk about it, and before you get into that, I want to talk about for just about a minute about the when President Obama made his spoke on his feelings about racial bias, well, how he was treated when he was a young black man. Many people said that he should have probably talked about this before, but I think it was good politics for him to wait a little while, although it probably should have been sooner than this point. But he was talking about the Trayvon Martin case, which we are all still on, which we're very, also very proud of, Mrs. Martin and her ex-husband, but they are together on this. They are a dignified couple, and they are working to make sure that, young black men don't have to go through being profiled, you know, and have their lives in danger because it's such a horrible thing for them to have gone through, for all of us to have gone through. And so he, meaning the president, spoke as an African-American. He identified with the experience, and what he did was he talked of being followed in a department store. Mm-hmm. He also talked about white women locking their car doors, and feeling eyes following him wherever he went. And so many things that have happened. It's really dangerous to be black male, in this country.
Well, certainly he, like any other African-American in this country, hasn't escaped being treated like an African-American in this country. It's just that the nation heard it from the president, who happened to be the president this time. But it is something that hopefully it opened some people's eyes, and they all can realize and have a different perspective about that, although I can imagine those that are constantly in conflict or on the other side of whatever President Obama tries to do, I think that they'll no doubt find a problem with that. But at least it was an attempt to reach out and give some people some understanding of what happened.
Yeah, I knew that he would have to address that at some particular point. He would have to.
Mm-hmm.
And he certainly stood up to be counted by addressing that. It was very important. And since he is the first African-American president, maybe he hasn't done what we all thought maybe he would be able to. He was blocked on every single step, practically, and still is very popular. So I'm very proud of the fact that we have an African-American president. I hope they'll have another one soon. We're not going to be talking about that little weenie man. That's demeaning to even mention. I don't know what in the world he's thinking of by even staying, in the race. That's absolutely absurd. But anyway, Eric, there's a whole lot of I know you probably have some of your friends who are going to be coming on, and I hope so, because we'd like to hear from them and hear more about this conference that you went to, the boot camp. But, I just found out that the jazz in Rhode Island, the Newport Jazz Festival, is this weekend. Now, I'm not advertising for somebody, but I just happened to be listening to some jazz music earlier today. And we wanted to say, go see it. Go see it. Participate in. And also, Malachi Majestic out there in Kansas, his rap battles. Sparkle in Atlanta is back on the air soon, everyone, for all you Sparkleites out there in Atlanta. Also, we're going to be doing updates on Sonny Sutherland. He won his case. He got his kids back that were taken away from him by the foster care department agency, rather.
Say wrongly. We should make a point of saying wrongly. Wrongly taken away from him in the foster court.
Illegally. Don't go stronger than that. It was illegal. That's what was found out about.
So he was able to get his children back. So you have updates on that as well. And we probably have potentially have Congressman Don Payne calling in to let us know about the meeting that the House Democrats and the Senate Democrats had with the president today, as well as we see that the House has passed legislation that would cause student loans to go down. So and the Senate to the president for him to sign it. So that's a good victory, dropping loans for students, interest rate on loans for students down, which is a big issue just a month ago when they rose. So
yeah.
That's another good thing to talk about.
I want to also address this educational issue in another second. But one thing, I was thinking of this. There was an article by Nick Childs in the Star Ledger not too long ago. You have to forgive me if I'm scratching throat. But just, he was talking about, the pain of a George Zimmerman verdict, by the way. And he was expressing his fear. you know, that about his son getting off and going to school, to college, and having the same fear and the same emotion that he had been struggling with ever since he turned 16. The son is then driving. And he said he's a pretty built guy. He's a muscle-bound football frame kid. And but there's a sadness for the Trayvon Martin family, but he identifies that. This writer said that it's just a senseless racial killing. And, you know, a lot of people are very afraid for their, you know, young black males. And he mentioned the Emmett Till case, Sean Bell.
So he's expressing his concern that the same thing could happen to his son in this letter to the Star Ledger.
That's right, that's right. And he was saying, as everybody says, that, you know, Zimmerman has gotten away, you know, with killing young Trayvon Martin, and there are many words being written today about the precarious existence of black boys. You know, so it's really very, you know, it's fearful. For instance, when you were going away to school, I had a talk with you, I don't know if you remember it, about not saying anything to a state trooper who might happen to stop you while driving to driving around anywhere, especially driving on the highways. Do you remember that?
No, I can't really say that I remember that discussion, but it's always a constant thing to be concerned about for any parent, certainly back then, and even clearly you have to be things haven't changed much in 20 or 30 years. So it's certainly something that we were focused on at the Congressional Black Institute, because it's about changing these laws and addressing these laws that allow this silly Stand Your Ground law, which seems to be more confusing than anything else, and how it was that this man was able to get away with this crime. You know, you had a couple of, or I saw at least one juror, seemed to be the lone minority, was saying that, you know, because of the confines of the law and the way the kind of instructions they were given by the judge, that, you know, they really couldn't find him guilty.
Right.
So there's got to be something better, and fortunately we're learning the ins and outs and how politics works and how we can go about creating issue campaigns and candidate campaigns to change these and address these laws and injustices that seem to be built within the fabric of our government and our system.
Yeah. We have to go for a break in just about another couple of minutes. But I did want to say, too, to everyone, that we are going to be doing an update, too, with Sophia Stewart. She's still hanging in there, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she is the mother of Matrix. She is the rightful owner and the copyright owner of Matrix and also Terminator. She wrote the story, and she has been suing the different steps of government that she has to go through, you know, the courts, the different courts and whatnot, and the different, not suing the courts, but suing the different film people and the different big companies to get her due. And it's really a long, drawn-out fight, but she's an African-American woman, so she says she's in there for the long haul.
Right. Once again, update people. Sophia Stewart is a woman who claims that she was a victim of, I guess, copyright infringement, because she claims that she wrote the Matrix and the Terminator movie, so that she's been in a battle for several years now.
And she's won her cases.
She's won the cases, but there are still some pending issues that they have to work out and see if this victory is going to be a really true victory for her. But obviously we're following along to monitoring that as she gives us more information and updates us with her story. So that's something else to look forward to. As I said, probably going to have Congressman Payne calling in about half past the hour, and a friend of mine from the Congressional Black Caucus Institute Boot Camp, hopefully he's going to be calling in as well.
Mm-hmm.
We're also looking at the news in general. The 50th anniversary of the March on Washington is going to be happening next month.
Yes.
In Washington, D.C., I believe on the 28th.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to double-check that date.
Yeah.
Everybody within the sound of our voice should try to get down there and commemorate the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington.
Yeah.
One of the greatest days, and certainly in the life of this short country.
Yeah, we're going to be breaking in just about a few seconds for a commercial break, and we will be right back, everyone. So stay with us. It is this is Kay Thompson Live. I'm Kay Thompson, and I'm with Eric Payne.
On the GoPro Radio Network.
Righto.
For good eating and safety in the path to the network with the best rappers hook you up fast. They keep it crispy with the 411. They feeding you right, chopping it up, dishing it out. It's tasting good but don't bite. With recipes are sublime and info fresh off the vine. They keep you GMO free because B, you all that you eat. Now, if you too busy chewing on the FAT fat wag, tune into the F to the O to the O to D food rap. Listen to the kitchen on the show with the utmost. I need a D and Shauna G, your fly MC chef. Oh, food rap, food rap, food rap, food rap, food rap. It's time to eat better. I know you feel the pressure. Can I get a yes, yes, sir? A yes, yes, sir. For the hot show on the block. From the street to the hood. Keep it locked. Pump and rap and talk. Never tasted so good.
Oh, yeah, delicious.
Put that pork out there.
Hamburgers and french fries. Oh, yeah. All the fast food I can eat. Oh, no, I can't. Oh, no.
One love.
I'm hungry. Hey, my stomach's growling.
Brussels sprouts. Food rap. GoPro Radio Network. Nina Marshall, Sonny Glover, let up.
That's it.
You're listening to content developed by the GoPro Radio Network, the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
And we are back. I'm really tickled. I hadn't heard that that ad. I love the rap, everybody. So, and that's about food rap, and it's a new show on GoPro Radio Network. And you will be hearing that again. And I just love that. How about that sound, Eric?
Yeah. It's good. It's a good ad. I just wanted to give people a correction of the date of the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington. It's
okay.
Going to be the 24th of August.
The 24th, okay.
So I want everybody to show up for that if they can, go down there and experience to commemorate the 50th anniversary.
Yeah. You know what I want to do? I want to tell people how important it is to be aware of what's going on in your community, to be so aware that you are going to vote and you're going to know the issues. And in order to do that, you know, we have to take people through, you know, how this whole process works. You know, we have district people, and then from the district people we have the city council. And then, for instance, I'm talking about local politics, and then you go to state politics, and then you go to national politics, federal. So, you know, you can break it down if you are a history major, which I was, and English major and history person.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we used to break it down for the kids, starting with, you know, the district and what you do as when you're elected to these positions. And the best way to do it is have these, you know, mock elections in your classroom. And then the children actually interact these things. And so, therefore, that's the way they learn very well. But Eric, tell us more about this. What can happen as a result of taking this, you know, this boot camp? I know it was intense, and I know there were many hours involved, and there are so many things to read and learn, et cetera, et cetera. But what happens now? What happens from here?
What happens from here is that people will go back. Many of the people that were involved in this boot camp are professionals. Some are actually working for representatives within their offices. We had some at the age range was anywhere from 18 to 65, 35 individuals that were chosen and submitted by, as I said, the Congress people or African American, a member of the Congressional Black Caucus. And the intent was to train new leaders in politics and civic participation.
Yeah.
So we can then train more leaders and the community in how to be effectively taking part in their civic duty and the civic responsibility in their neighborhood and their communities.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to give out the number for people to call,
323-679-0906,
everyone, to be involved with the conversation, 323-679-0906. And we are waiting to hear from Congressman Donald Payne, Jr. So, by the way, is he going to be dropping the junior? Is he going to be staying the second, or what can we expect?
that's a question that's completely out of you just asking that because we're on the radio, huh, Ma? Just a question that you've never even considered before. But anyway,
I have to.
That's something that you can ask them. But that's a filler question, folks,
yeah,
for those
yeah.
of you that are listening.
That's a filler question.
But what I was really, I want to get talk about the Congressional Black
Caucus
yeah,
right
Institute
it.
Boot Camp, because it was really something that was very inspiring to
yeah.
me, to meet so many people from across the country that realize, you know, really the situation that's facing African Americans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got a particular insight. One particular day as we went into the nation's capital to visit our various representatives and people who submitted us there and to hear inspiring words from several members of the Congressional Black Caucus. And we also stopped by the Department of Labor
mm-hmm.
and got an update on the breakdown of how the labor statistics in African Americans in the workforce in the United States, as well as the treatment of young children in the school systems
yeah.
in
mm-hmm.
the country, and how nowadays, you know, they kind of are doing the buzz phrase nowadays is the school-to-prison pipeline
mm-hmm.
that seems to be quite
it's
real.
It's a form of slavery.
It's a quite real way that they seem to track young men, seemingly young men of color, kind of a way to track them, or maybe really even guide their life and to steer their life into the direction of eventually ended up in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And it's done by, you know, a lot of the kids now, they have a whole different way that they view interactions, fighting, and kind of unruly behavior with children. But there's a whole different way that it's seeming to be dealt with. And I believe you mentioned this a couple of shows before.
About prisons being business, big.
Well, just
big
about
business.
How there's a harder, harder judging of young African American men
always
in the classroom, and now it's a fact that they're getting tagged now, or
right.
they get a reputation or whatever being difficult, and it's almost like the type of classes they end up finding themselves in are
mm-hmm.
are not the honors class anymore, but the class for hard students, and they
mm-hmm.
they kind of get tracked and. Almost
there's a negative thing on their heads immediately as soon as they step into the school system.
Mm-hmm.
Let's face that. In fact, you know, when you hear problems of kids being bullied, generally you will see the harsher treatments on young black children.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I have a real problem with that, because anybody who can't, you know, handle a elementary person in one way or another, I'm not talking about physical anything. But there's ways that you can take the child out of class, you can call the parent, you can sit the child down. You don't really have to bully the child. There have been experiences that I've had with teachers who will actually bully the kids. And so a lot of them have been African-American kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to speak up for them. I said, no, this is not going to happen. And especially if you were dealing with, you know, 4, 5, and 6, and they can be pains in the neck, there's no doubt about it. But the point is they are teachable. And if you have the patience, instead of, you know, seeing the color first, and this happens all too often, and people think it's over, it's not over. It's not over at all. As a matter of fact, talking about education, do you want me to get into this now, or are we going to be talking about the boot camp for some certain length of time? Because that's really fascinating. By the way, I saw in the paper, or that I heard somewhere, that Mayor Sharp James's son is going to be running for mayor or for city council?
Mm,
he's already in city council, isn't he? Or is he
I'm not aware of that.
Yeah.
I'm not
aware.
I haven't heard of that. So.
Yeah.
But
let me get to this information that I have on colleges, because, you know, the college kids really are, you know, up against it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another thing that I have a problem with some of the high school kids, too. Sometimes they are late in getting their information together. Now, that should be responsible of them who are those who are going to school, okay? But, you know, at their ages, sometimes they're not. And I want to tell them that it's not too late for you to register, and you can do it at some of your county colleges. Now, these are public schools, and public schools are state-funded, and the tuition is considerably lower for New Jersey students. The community colleges, by the way, they open their doors for the students who seek and value an education. So you can go, and you can say you want to, you've missed the year that you wanted to when you were wanted to enter into college. Well, if you go to one of the county colleges, you know, the community college, like, you know, what is it, the city council, City College in Newark. Is that the name of it? I forget the name.
Essex County College.
Essex County College, right. I had it right here, and my glasses are giving me a big problem here. But if you go down there, you know, you will actually, you don't have to take an SAT. You know,
so you're saying that at some of these community colleges, the registration date is a little bit later
Sometimes they will give you a break if you go down and you explain yourself and so forth. Number one, you have to be more responsible. That's the number one thing that I say to college students or high school students. If you're going to be going on to college, if you're going to be going on to higher education, then you really have to play by the rules.
Right.
You have to have your stuff together. You have to have your applications in. I understand they make it a lot easier now because you can do it online. You don't have to actually go to the school. But
right.
You need the information. When you get the information, you have got to act on it.
Yeah.
But in many cases, it is not too late.
Well, I would imagine, who knows when their particular career, their semester starts. I would imagine, obviously, with a community college, and they might be a little bit more lenient or when,
sometimes,
you know,
in some cases.
I would suppose, too, that people can take certain courses stay on top or get ahead or prepare themselves to enter in the university of their choice. So I would imagine that's certainly a good option, and certainly some good information that a lot of people maybe have not considered.
They just don't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. And a lot of times they have not considered it, and there's no excuse for it if they are, they're almost adults. In fact, they are young adults when they graduate high school anyway. But they can go to the schools that are closer to them. There's the New Jersey Institute of Technology downtown Newark. And I have to say to people, too, and I have said this before, that the Center for Higher Education in the state of New Jersey is Newark, New Jersey. You have about 7 different colleges down there. And they will, consider your enrollment. They will consider your circumstances. It's an easier situation. Sometimes you just need a couple more years or one more year, of going into a class or just growing up. Because the statistics are, that if you don't go into that first year or that second year, a lot of kids just drop out and they, lose all, the feeling that they have for going to college. They feel it's not for them. And that's not good at all.
Right,
so,
right.
So wanted to let them know that it's not too late. Go to Essex County College. Go to, NJIT. Now, NJIT is a technical college. They offer all kinds of things that, people may be interested in on a technical basis. And the public research university attracts a diverse, mostly New Jersey-based students, by the way. And this fall, they can expect 2,200-based New Jersey-based students. And 5,000 undergrads will be able to live on campus in Newark, by the way. And they've been doing that with, NJIT anyway. However, that area is quite an educational enclave.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you that SoHo feeling of, the schools all in one place, and it's just great. The students are mixed
right.
with other students. And the idea is a diverse background. The students come from all over.
And the bottom line
out
is you want to let people know that it might not be too late to enroll, depending on how the semester runs for the particular school and what you're trying to do. But it's still a possibility to get in there and be able to take some courses and become a part of a curriculum.
At least get in and explain your situation to someone.
Right,
just
right.
don't think that it's all for loss. It's not a loss
right.
thing. You really have to do some work. You get on the phone or you go down to the school. You talk to people. You let them know that, yes, you want to be there. You want to be in this school. So, what do you have to do it?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, people make a mistake on their applications.
Mm-hmm.
And if you make a mistake on your application because, sometimes the students don't understand it. Those applications are not necessarily, the easiest thing to interpret, especially since you've been in a high school and you're just now going into, the next level if you're going into college. And it can be a little bit confusing. So, but I just did want to bring that to the attention, everyone, and to give them the schools that are involved. NJ is one. There's CSU. There's Fairleigh Dickinson, CSE,
so
this, by the way.
Certainly something to check out.
Yeah.
As you're saying, we're not exactly sure if the dates have passed, but it's worth checking out because some of these dates, some of these schools allow a little later enrollment.
That's right.
And the student loan, that's a good segue to the House of Representatives passing the student loan deal. And as I said earlier, they're sending it out to the president's desk to be signed. And this is going to reduce student loan rates in the short term.
And it sounds like I'm advertising for, Essex County College, but I'm not, but the point is I know a little bit about it.
Right.
They also have locations for Essex County College, UCC, and not only in Newark, but in West Caldwell. They do have a couple other places that, the students can be involved with.
Right. And just to let people know, as I was saying, these student loan rates are going to be lowering during the short term.
Yeah,
and they doubled on the 1st of July to 6.8%, and now the interest rate now is going to drop to 4.6 under this new bill.
Is it?
So really a great thing for kids trying to get to school. Certainly if you're concerned about a student loan rate, this could be something that could help a lot of people get into school. Of course, this deal has its critics. Of course, and they say that could result in increases in the interest rates each subsequent year as the economy improves. But it's certainly some relief for a lot of students.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the approval follows passage of a compromise bill in the Senate, which capped interest rates at 8.25% for undergraduates and 9.5% for undergraduates and 10.5% for parents. So, I guess that would be graduates because it's undergraduates twice. I'm reading off this ticker here.
Yeah.
But certainly it's good news for kids wanting to go to school and that might need some financial assistance. So,
absolutely. And I think it might be time for another break about now. You think so?
I believe you're probably right since you know when the breaks are there.
Okay, everyone, stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Kay Thompson. I'm on Kay Thompson Live and with Eric Baines. Stay with us. We'll be back.
You want to know the truth, folks? Do you really want to know the truth? Well, perhaps you can't handle the truth. But if you can, you can listen to GoPro Radio. Tune in at www.goproradio.com. Now, have I made myself clear?
GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head. I know I do.
You're listening to content developed by the GoPro Radio Network, the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
Okay, now that voice is so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was Ty Washington. He is the CEO of GoPro Radio. And this is quite a...
We want to remind everybody you can go to GoProRadio.com for the entire network and the entire slate and schedule of shows where you can click on to hear our vaults and dig deep in the vaults where you can find an archive shows of the Kay Thompson Live show and the various other shows on GoPro Radio Network. And we want just to remind everybody to go do that. You can click on the show and you can also donate to GoPro Radio to help keep the type of programming that you love and the voices in your ear, in your head, coming to you and keep those voices talking to you.
Yeah.
Just click on the donate button to support us. Let us know that you're donating in support of the Kay Thompson Live show. And getting back to the discussion, just today I was looking in, the politics are my thing, and I'm noticing that the little fight between Rand Paul and Chris Christie.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a good one.
Yeah.
If that's kind of the precursor to a presidential primary on the Republican side, it's going to be pretty good. Because we know Chris Christie likes to talk a lot of stuff, and Rand Paul, he's crazy enough to talk some of the crazy stuff he talks. So it's kind of fun.
You know, can you address how the Black politicians are treated in Washington. Now you've been in Washington, in Congress. You've seen what the situation is. What do you think?
Let's correct things first off. I haven't been in Congress. I've visited Washington and certainly been around Congressman Payne and seeing how hard they work. One of the things I was surprised to find out is that the average person, you know, their perception of the work that all representatives do in the nation's capital seems to be that it's just all fun and games and they don't work a lot.
Yeah.
When in actuality, they worked quite hard and they have something to do literally every hour of the day, meeting constituents, talking to people that have concerns that affect the district that they represent,
mm-hmm.
running back and forth to Capitol Hill as they vote. And the Congressional Black Caucus, they say that they're the conscience of the Congress because they kind of keep the moral compass of the Congress focused on how we can help the broadest cross-section of Americans. For example, when the Republicans try to pass this particular farm bill without any nutrition programs in it to feed the poorest in the country.
Mm-hmm.
It was many members of the Congressional Black Caucus, as well as other Democrats, that made a big objection to it made a lot of noise and brought a lot of attention to it. Is what I'm trying to say to make sure that this is not something that's accepted, and certainly to keep people fed. That's the least we can do.
And what about the issue of incarceration, of jails? Of the big business that the incarceration has become.
Right. As that's what we were talking about a little bit earlier. You know, there seems to be kind of a prison pipeline going on.
Yep.
You know, if you notice nowadays, you see I've seen several documentaries, and I've talked to quite a few people that these prisons, which many times are private prisons, mean they're for profit.
Yeah.
They are involved in other businesses where they're competing with manufacturers. I saw one particular show about a prison that was a fish farm where they would raise a fish for the market, tilapia. And this one particular farm, this one particular prison, this was the business that they were involved in. And because of the it being prison labor and what they were able to get away with, well, they have to pay for the labor, but it's just such a small amount that obviously businesses that have to compete using labor from the general workforce, unincarcerated workforce, can't possibly compete if they have to pay a minimum wage. And here's a prison using prison labor, paying people 50 cents an hour or whatever it is. So it's really a way that a lot of these businesses are able to reap a great amount of profit, you know, ones that might own these prisons. So there's a lot of...
And when you think of what goes into making or building a prison, the high-tech facilities they have become, because I've been watching these things on, you know, different areas on the Internet, and, you know, they are high-tech places, and it costs millions to build those places.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, in order to build those places, you have to have, you know, the workforce, you know, to cheap labor. And who is filling those spots for cheap labor? When you see the shows and you see the statistics, the majority of the people in those prisons are Black and Latinos.
Right.
And the majority of Blacks who are arrested for doing nothing is growing and growing. Look at the Stand Your Ground law. Look what happened to Trayvon Martin. And you know, women are very afraid to let their their sons out of their sights, really.
Mm-hmm. Black mothers.
Yeah. Okay, we have someone calling on the line. Let's take that caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, how you doing? I'm Brent Page out of Los Angeles, a good friend of Mr. Payne here.
Hello, Brent Page. Brent Page, one of the Congressional Black Caucus Institute Fellows of 2013.
Hello, Brent.
How you doing?
Good.
Hello to Kay Thompson. Brent, that's my mom. And
nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Brent is calling in all the way from Los Angeles. And as you know, Brent, we were talking about what the Congressional Black Caucus Institute experience was as political boot camp. And I described a little bit for everybody what it was, what the official line was. But, I mean, how was the experience for you meeting several people from all across the country taking part in the Congressional Black Caucus Institute political education training and boot camp? I said the whole name right there.
Man, it was an amazing experience. It's great to be amongst like-minded individuals, and especially across that come from different neighborhoods, come from different areas of the globe, where we have people from the U.S. Virgin Islands, you know, Los Angeles, Newark, New York City, Florida. So you got a lot of different perspectives that were brought to the table. And I know Eric addressed it earlier about how we got a chance to see the Congress people, you know, running back and forth to Capitol Hill and doing more than what you think, just doing speeches. They're really on the ground running, and it was a truly amazing experience and definitely great networking. I'll never forget the experience. Very good.
What were you doing prior to? Were you always involved in politics? How did you get involved, in other words?
Yes, well, actually, I worked in Newark. I worked in City Hall.
In Newark, no kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of the second part of the segue for Mr. Page there, that he has a special connection to us here in the Jersey area. Go ahead, Mr. Page, and you can let the cat out the bag now.
Man, well, right out of college, I went to Southern University in Louisiana. Right out of college, I took a position working on a green policy initiative for Mayor Cory Booker. And once I finished that, working for him, I came back to Los Angeles and worked as a consultant for the school district. And ever since then, I mean, I feel like I was born to be a leader and work as a public servant. So any way that I can, you know, title or not, I was always taking the initiative in my neighborhood and just being that leader, being that voice for the people.
Now, we were we all felt that we were charged with a mission, that we were being there. Certainly, us participating in this program a week after the Trayvon Martin decision and the week of the president's historic statement on that decision, and we all felt the urgency, for lack of a better term, of us, you know, learning these skills and really helping to take the baton. Brent,
exactly.
We talked about that a little bit, and if you can describe that feeling or what you felt that, you know, our overall mission of being there was.
Man, it was like you just said, man, just being there with you guys and getting that, hearing that verdict, it was to me, it was like a moment I'll never forget in my life. I felt that I had to do something. You know,
yeah.
And we left boot camp. Everybody was calling each other with ideas and what they feel they can do, or, you know, how we can help each other in our respective cities. I felt that the baton was passed. Hearing that speech from, you know, Congressman Elijah Cummings and Benny Thompson, Congressman Thompson, I just felt that I had to do something, because, like they were saying, you guys were selected and brought here for a purpose. Now you need to go out and carry out that purpose. We provide you with the tools and the training. So now reach back down and help your fellow people in the community. So I left there jotting down ideas on the plane, because that's a long plane ride from D.C. to L.A. So I had a lot of time to think about it and write down a lot of ideas I want to implement in my community. So
tell us one of those ideas.
Well, one of my ideas is to try to reengage the population that has just been released from prison, because I noticed last election cycle, a lot of the people that I've talked to that might have had a prior offense felt that they couldn't vote, and they were being told this upon leaving prison.
But what they've been told, what do you mean? What do you mean they can vote now or what? Because that was true at one time.
Well, yeah, exactly. And in the state of California, it's certain offenses. People can still vote. And now in California, they were able to implement an online registration. So I was, you know, I was
and
registering
people
online.
And so people who
had
been incarcerated could vote then?
Yeah, it just depends on their situation. So a lot of them don't know. They just feel that if they've been to jail once in their life, then they can't vote, period. And so my goal is to reach back out using avenues such as, you know, probation officers, different reentry programs, and just adding that little political aspect to it, because a lot of these, I hate to say it, but a lot of brothers, a lot of young African-American people of color, they're being disenfranchised that way.
Exactly.
So I feel that this is another avenue that we can get that vote population up.
As I was saying, it's a new form of slavery.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's no doubt about it. That's really great. I like that idea.
And also, I think it might be time for us to get ready to go to a break, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah. I've gotten involved with this conversation.
Brent, I want to pick up from that standpoint so we can let people know exactly what the stipulations are, or who and who cannot vote. But we're going to have to go to a little break right about now, I believe.
Yeah.
Stay with us on GoPro Radio Network on the Kay Thompson Live Show. We'll be right back.
Looking for good eating and safety in the path to the network with the best rap will hook you up fast. They keep it crispy with the 411 and feeding you right. Chopping it up, dishing it out. It's tasting good, but don't bite. With recipes are sublime and info fresh off the vine. They keep you GMO free because be you all what you eat. Now, if you too busy chewing on the FAQ fat wag, tune into the F to the O to the O to D food rap. Listen to the kitchen on the show with the utmost. With Nina, me and Shauna G, your fly MC chef. Oh, food rap, food rap, food rap, food rap, food rap. It's time to eat better. I know you feel the pressure. Can I get a yes, yes, sir? A yes, yes, sir? A for the hot show on the block. From the street to the hood. Keep it locked. Bon Food Rap for talk. Never tastes it so good.
Oh, yeah, delicious.
Put that pork up down.
Hamburgers and french fries. Oh, yeah. All the fast food I can eat. Oh, no, I can't. Oh, no.
One love.
I'm hungry. Hey, my stomach growling.
Brussels sprouts. Food Rap. GoPro Radio Network. Nina Marshall. Shauna Glover. Let up.
That's it.
You're listening to content developed by the GoPro Radio Network, the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
We are back, and we are back. I'm Kay Thompson at Kay Thompson Live. I'm with Eric Payne.
Eric Payne, and I believe that we have the congressman in queue. I know
okay.
We're going to come back. Do we have Congressman Don Payne on the line with us and with Brent Page? Congressman?
Are you there? Congressman Donald Payne, are you there? Okay, let's continue
well,
until we
find
Well,
he's
going
to call back if he's okay. In the queue. Brent, now you had talked about a lot of people not knowing that they can vote. So what are the stipulations?
Yeah.
Who is it? If people have had felonies, they can vote, and people have misdemeanors, how does that break down?
Oh, well,
and
basically.
Also, okay. Is it different state by state or what?
Well, it looks like it's state by state. I looked at legislation recently, and it looks like about 30 states have some sort of law that are outlawing parolees,
mm-hmm.
People that are on parole, they can't vote. Right now, a lot of those inmates or released prisoners who are not on parole, right now in California, they can vote. But the problem is since they feel that they've had a record, even though they served their time, they did parole, all that's over, they feel, and a lot of people have told me personally, well, my PO told me I can't vote, or, you know, when I left prison, nobody educated them on the law, and that's the problem. Mm-hmm. And like I was having a conversation with one of our speakers that came to the boot camp, a lot of these people, when they go into prison, they come out more politically conscious than before they went in. So a lot of these people want to be involved, but they don't have the education. They don't know how they can move forward with voting. They just feel just because
How can you reach out to those who have been incarcerated and who really want to, you know, have good lives and be involved politically?
And see, that's what I left boot camp with. What I want to do is, the lady, I forgot her name, but she's a part of a voting rights advocacy group, and she suggested to me that to go ahead and reach out to these, you know, reentry programs, also program some probation departments, and there's a lot of nonprofits that deal with reentry, and try to implement your political piece to it, because a lot, like I said, most of them focused on just, you know, self-motivation, trying to get a job, but not necessarily on the political tip. So that's where I can come in and be that liaison, so to speak, to let them know, hey, this is what you can do, and this is how you can move forward with being a good citizen in your community.
You know, I also remember that years ago, and this probably is still in place. I can't imagine that it not being. When the people who were incarcerated, you know, were released from jail, and if their parents or if their relatives or somebody if they were living in public housing, they couldn't live in public housing.
Yep, I remember that.
And if they could,
too.
And if they were found out to live in public housing, you know, then the person who lived there, you know, was losing the housing. Yes.
Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, we're being disenfranchised every which way, and it's starting from, you know, elementary on down to being a grown man. So something has to be done, and so that's what I'm taking the initiative. I live in South L.A., and so which is, you know, we have a definite high number of young men of color that are in prison. So that's why I'm trying to start in my backyard and try to get these people, you know, educated, you know.
And certainly that's something that people could be, you know, they can use as some sort of re-education program as it relates to their civic rights.
Of course.
Exactly.
Their rights as a citizen, a tax-paying citizen now, once they've paid their debt to society. Let me just see if the congressman, do we have Congressman Don Payne? Congressman,
yes.
Are you there?
Hello, how are you?
How you doing today, this evening, Congressman? Glad we were able to catch you for these few minutes before we have to go off the air.
How are you, Congressman?
How are you, Congressman?
I'm fine. I'm fine tonight. Thank you.
So why don't you tell us about the meeting that you had there, you guys? The Democrats were huddled with the president today, the Senate and the House Democrats. You guys had a meeting. What was the agenda that was set forth?
The House... House Caucus was fortunate enough to meet with President Obama today, and just wanted to come over. He kind of jokingly said he wanted to see us before he leaves because he knows he's going to miss us. So, as you know, Friday is our last day in session. So I just think that the president wanted to, you know, just impart on us what he'll be doing over the course of the next month or so. He's going to be out on the road talking about job creation, and that is going to be his focus on, you know, employing the middle class. But the Congressional Black Caucus is mindful that that is our goal, to reemploy the middle class, rebuild the middle class. But we also made it clear to him that we are looking to expand the middle class and bring people out of poverty. So we do not let issues that are forefront in our community go without being heard by the president as well. So he agreed that expanding the middle class and helping the middle class is what he wanted to do. So he's going out on the road, as you know. Probably yesterday he was in Tennessee at an Amazon distribution plant and talked to the people there and looked at their operation and how those types of jobs are growing. And so he's very invigorated in going out and getting his message out. I've seen several commercials now that talk about his message, and he's talking about building out. He says rather than building from the bottom or building from the top down, he says we want to build out, and he's talking about the middle class, the group that's been marginalized in this nation, that has really been the steadfast stability in this country. He's looking to reinvigorate and help that population. So we were very excited about his message, and he didn't speak very long. He actually wanted to take questions from members, and that's what he did.
Would you feel it was a good mix-up, or a good opportunity to convey your ideas, the ideas that you guys have, to the president?
Absolutely, and we're respectful, but we're also diligent at getting our message across of things and areas that we feel need to be addressed by the administration. So, it's a very collegial type of atmosphere, but we make sure that he understands, you know, the issues that we're plagued with as the House of Representatives of the people, so...
And you did represent your district. We know that last night in your district, you had a great turnout for on the Small Business Forum, being on the Small Business Committee, And your forum was about how the Affordable Health Care Act affects people and small business owners in it. And these are just one of the many forums that you as a representative in the Congress and many representatives give. And we also we always want to let people know you're probably going to have another one, I think, in around September. I saw your schedule. You're going to be hosting another information session. And these are things that people should certainly take advantage of and come out and hear the details of the Affordable Health Care Act, how it affects them. And, you know, I learned some things there last night, and I know everybody that was there got some really helpful information. So these are things that you're doing in the district. And as you said, you're going to be home during the August recess doing district business. So surely you'll be having a number of events to let people know what's available, what's going on.
And we want to hear about those events, too, when you, now that you're going to be closer. You know, when I say closer, I mean I think you might be a little bit more available, but I'm quite sure you'd be able to call in, you know, whenever you can, like you've been doing and informing us. Really, really good stuff. Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, to the point that Eric brought up, you know, it is my obligation to disseminate information to my constituents. And, you know, there's a lot of trepidation for small businesses around the Affordable Care Act. And so, you know, I have the straight truth and the information on what it will and won't do. There are a lot of people out there that are putting out a lot of misinformation, and it's really muddying the waters for people. And so what I decided to do, rather, we were talking about starting in September, and we will still have the forum in September. But I told my staff, I said, look, we need to start now. And so I was able to get one together in July, because October will be here and we'll still be trying to explain this to people. So we need to start as early as we can. And for, you know, even the president talked today about how the Affordable Care Act, even though it's not totally implemented, portions that are implemented in states that are working with the president, they're seeing great change already. Premiums going down 20% and 30%. And even in New York, there were stories of reports that premiums have been cut in half, 50%.
Terrific.
So I have, you know, have delved into this more and more and gotten more information and understanding more of it. And let me just say this. When Medicare was first brought up, people said, oh, my God, what are you doing? You're socializing medicine. This is going to be the worst thing to happen in the United States. We all know how we feel about Medicare now. When Social Security was started, oh, my God, what are you doing? How can we do this in the United States? This is terrible. What are you – you're socializing the country again. You talk to someone and tell them you're going to take their Social Security. I see the Affordable Care Act having the same impact on health care that those different programs have had in this nation. This is going to be a magnificent thing, and the president's legacy is secure, because I call it the Affordable Care Act now because people that use Obamacare are making it a negative stigmatism. But
Congressman,
I told people the
other
day,
put a pin in it right there. We need to put a pin in it right there, Congressman, because we're just about out of time. And this has been the Kate Thompson Live Show on GoPro Radio Network. We want you to come back next week, Congressman. We want to thank Congressman Donald Payne. I want to thank my boot camp alumni, fellow graduate Brent Page there for calling
thank
in with
you.
Us. Appreciate that.
Thank you for coming on, and thank you, Congressman. Thank you, Eric.